Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rachel. Uh-uh. Amber Rose made news. She,
She did.
She made news. People were shocked at the fact that Amber Rose said that she A&R'd for Kanye West. We're going to drop the compassionate hoeing clip. Shock them even more. Donnie, we need that compassionate hoeing clip, Donnie.
What compassionate hoe clip?
She says she's a hoe, but she's a compassionate hoe.
Yeah, she's a compassionate hoe. Okay, she did say that, which I love that statement. I don't understand why. I mean, I figured people would be up in arms because people just love to get their feathers rustled. I always say that wrong. Which one is it, man?
It's you early. Ruffling the feathers.
Thank you. I was right the first time.
Yeah.
People always love to get their feathers ruffled. I don't think it's that far-fetched. First of all, she's not one to lie. Second, I don't understand why it's that far-fetched to think that the person, when you're in a relationship with someone, in a good one, you're usually strategizing together and talk and pillow talking and working things out and trying to help the significant other in whatever it is that they're doing and going through. So it is not far-fetched to think that while she was in relationship with these individuals that, and she's also a fan of music and in this space, then I don't understand why that's wild for people to think that.
Plus, I found an article where Nicki Minaj said it.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
So, question. The grays are starting to come in more.
Oh, that's so great. Congratulations.
It's so fun. I love it so much. The question is, to die or not to die?
Not to die. You have a significant other, but yes. Women love salt and pepper. Hair. And I go through this with Brian, because Brian's like, should I dye my beard? I'm like, no, the more grays that you have, I think that it is really the sexier that you are. I think that there is something about embracing the grays. The salt and pepper look is very in. You should rock it. Congratulations. Don't dye it.
Well,
we can always tell, and it's just so unnatural.
I don't know if you can always tell. I think that gray only looks good if you're like a sexy man. You know what I mean?
That's not true.
First
it adds
of all,
to it.
No.
Like a beard and a cap.
A beard and a cap?
Like a beard and a hat. Shout out to Trudy.
A beard and a hat is good with gray?
Like it's like makeup is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like it makes you look better. I think that there is something very mature and sexy about gray hairs as they're coming in. The salt and pepper look.
Yeah. I'm not going to dye it. I was just asking, but it's so interesting to see because the gray makes me look a little bit more like the guys in my family because we're a gray family, but not a bald family, which is interesting why my hairline is in such shambles because the reality is that's like uncommon for us. And my Lathan side blames it on my mom.
Well, that's what they say.
What they say?
They say the balding comes from the mother's side.
Oh, is that true? My mama ain't bald though. My mama got gray hair.
From the men on the side of your mom's
side. Oh, I'm trying to think if them niggas is bald or not. I don't know. Is the judge has got full head of hair, doesn't he?
He's got a full head. He's got hair. Yeah.
That's because he gets his wrath off on others. He gives the stress away.
Oh, so that's what
away.
That means?
Yeah. He gives the stress away. He's like, 50 years.
Okay.
And then every time he does that, he grows a hair. How are they doing?
They're doing well. They're doing very well. I'm going to go see them tomorrow, so I'm very excited.
Have you ever seen a judge hand down like a crazy
a
sentence?
Judge? A sentence? No.
Like,
I've never been to a sentencing. I have been to trial. I've seen him in action. But I've never been to a sentencing before.
His name
there's no like it's not a joyous moment. He's not smiling down as he's handing down the sentence or banging the gavel or no, it's all professional.
That must be so nuts, man. Like, think about how nuts it is to be a judge. Like, you know, this person's probably done something not great, let's face it. And you see it and you go, God damn. I gotta give this motherfucker a cool 20. Fuck. Like, shit. By the time this motherfucker gets out, we'll be on Mars.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't be, like, I would be partial to people. I know I would. Like, I couldn't separate my opinion or my feelings. I am not meant to be a judge. I know so. I'm not meant to be a judge.
I think it's too serious of a job for me. Look, let me tell you something. Podcasting and media stuff was invented just so I wouldn't have to be at a serious job. Can you imagine me? Like, I remember at Best Buy, the reason why I was such a good salesman is because I didn't take it seriously. There's nothing about the job that I took seriously. Then people would be like, Van, get a TV down from the top. I would be like, no.
How long did you work at Best Buy?
Like 4 years.
Okay. Well, I mean, you were doing something right.
Like, could you go up there and get the TV down? I'm like, no, I would be. We had this little bike. I don't know why at Best Buy we had this little small bike.
Right.
That was like at the front of the store. It was like a kid's bike, like a small kid's bike. I'm like 6'4", 330 at that point. Every hour, I would ride the kid's bike around the store.
Oh my God!
The customers would be in awe. Be like, God damn, for a big guy!
Look at him go!
Look at him go!
I would have loved to have worked with you at Best Buy. I'm sure you made it fun for all the employees. Listen, I'm headed down to Comic-Con. Any tips? Never been. Doing the Dungeons and Dragons carpet.
Okay, it's nice.
You know, I'm in unfamiliar territory. I wish that I was there on Saturday for Disney and Marvel, but I'm going to my sorority sister's wedding, so I can't do it. But I'm a rookie. But can you tell me?
So this is what you got to do. You got to watch yourself because they're horny down there.
Horny for what?
You're very horny for fucking brownies, nigga. What'd you think? They're horny for sexual loving. So what I'm telling you...
Oh, I thought you were going to say like they were horny for like stuff that has to do with Comic-Con, not actual.
Yeah. Like
horny.
Like, here's the thing. It's like, you know, like when the Olympics happen and everybody goes to Olympic Village and this bang, 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 bang in Olympic Village. Comic-Con is not dissimilar, at least from when I was going down there, is that this is all of us together. And, you know, if you're a hot cosplay guy, you see a hot cosplay chick. If you're a hot cosplay chick, you see another hot cosplay chick. Hot, you know, they get it on. They get it. So if I were you, I would go down there, keep my head on a swivel, you know. you just know that if anybody's making googly eyes, it's because this is their moment. It's like not just a convention, but it's the mating season of fandom.
Well, I'm not going to be in cosplay because I'm there
to
work.
You should go as cosplay. I
next year I want to go the full weekend. My gosh, I've never seen a Siri like yours before. Next year I do want to dress up and I do want to go and I want to fully immerse myself in the experience, except for the horny part that you're referring to, which I was unaware of.
Who would you go as?
I don't know, but I want to see it. I mean, it's like a whole, it's huge. 100,000 people they're saying are going to be there. I've never experienced it before. So
it'll be a lot of fun.
I'm a little excited.
It'll be a lot of fun. Like, what you should do though, if you go as a costume, in a costume, we'll be there next year. So what you should do is if you go in a costume, don't fucking cheap out. Don't go as Storm. You know, that's too easy. You go down there. Yeah, you go down there. It's a million blades. You know, at least when I was going, because when I was going, it's like, it's was before. I haven't been since like 2016. So it's like weren't prominent characters for Negroes as much. A lot of Blades, a lot of Nick Furies. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Pick an obscure character, an obscure black character. It was Misty Knight or somebody like that. Like, go as them and then do a great costume and then make people ask you who you are so that you can educate them and be in costume. That's the way that you
do
it.
That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'll clearly need help because yeah. I don't even know who that person was that you named.
Misty Knight. She's cool. I like her. Your sister beat the COVID. So,
mm-hmm.
Now we have to talk about somebody else. It's big news just broke. Big deal of the day on the other side. Hmm. President Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID.
When did that break?
Jesus Christ. Just now, Rachel. While you were...
Oh my gosh, I see it.
Making your morning toast. Do you eat toast in the morning?
No.
You don't eat toast?
It takes me a while to work up an appetite in the morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. But yeah, Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID Thursday, joining millions of other Americans, including his own vice president, who've contracted the illness since the pandemic began. Now, this is precarious. Joe Biden, 79, is the oldest person to ever serve as COVID. President.
Wow.
Sorry. He's been vaccinated and doubly boosted for COVID, which, of course, the CDC says greatly reduces his chances of complications from the disease. But he is elderly, and he has a history of brain aneurysms. So he is in a particular risk category for this.
Well,
he's got mild symptoms. He is symptomatic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It. Runny nose, dry cough, and some fatigue, but no fever.
Yeah.
So that's good. But wow. I mean, it's not like. Listen, COVID's going around, like people are getting it who never had it before, this go around, whatever this wave of it is. Biden falls into that. But it's always just like, I don't know, there's something jarring about hearing that the president has COVID. Even when Trump had it, it was like, whoa, Trump has COVID. Not that you think that they're invincible, but I don't know, maybe a part of you does feel that way because they're the leader of this country. So, yeah, when you said it, I'm like, I didn't see the alert. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Biden has COVID.
It's jarring because they are the most protected people in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it is a reminder that, like you said, that invisibility comes from the fact that you can't even shake the president's hand. You can't get near the president. I watched this documentary one time about protecting the president when he's giving a speech, and the Secret Service gets out there the week before, locks square blocks down, all kinds of high-tech bomb detection and viral detection and all of that stuff. And despite all of that, you cannot protect anyone from COVID. COVID is the great equalizer right now. Well, it's not quite equal because people still have it's not even close to being equal, shall I say. People still have access to different types of therapeutics based upon how rich they are. But you can't stop it. Mm-mm. It's a perfect enemy. Like it will affect you no matter where you're at or what station you have in life. And so it's gotten two American presidents, the last two American presidents. COVID is on a roll. Are you scared for President Biden?
I mean, I guess I don't want to put those kind of thoughts out there, but I get nervous when I hear anybody has it. I really do. I don't feel like we understand more things, I think, about COVID than before. I think some of the initial fear that we had when it first dropped in 2020 are gone, but I still get nervous because this virus is so unpredictable. I'll give you an example. My makeup artist at work. She's going through a second round of COVID. First time she had it, no symptoms. Second time she had it, no symptoms when she tested positive. So I was like, oh, she's asymptomatic again. She's had it. She tested positive 11 days ago. On like the eighth day, she started showing symptoms, couldn't breathe, went to the hospital, and is on a ventilator.
Jesus. Like,
she's okay. Like, she's asthma, but like, you would think that you were out of the woods after 8 days, but she had trouble breathing. So she had to go to the hospital and be put on a ventilator. She said she's coming home. You know, like, so she's doing better being on the machine to help with her breathing, but like, that's terrifying. I've never heard anybody who was symptomatic 8 days after. They usually tell you you're out of the clear after a certain amount of time. So it's like, yes, I'm nervous for him. Yes, I'm scared because I continue to hear these stories that just don't align with necessarily the symptoms that you're hearing people have, or the virus is going the way that a lot of other people are talking about it. It just seems to be erratic in how it's attacking certain people.
This is also a great big sign, a neon sign, that this current COVID wave that to me is being underreported and under talked about is pretty fucking severe. There are a lot of places that are going to bring back indoor masking. I have been sort of lax with my mask, I'm not going to lie, in GL. But we back.
Same.
We back with the mask. We're back to don't invite me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
For you.
Yeah, we're back to don't invite me. I'm going to go out for my homeboy's birthday this weekend.
I was going
to
say, what you going to do in Vegas? That's a hot
bed. No. That's going to be different. That's going to be, I'm going out there goggled up and the whole nine, and then I'm going back to the hotel. Stay away as cautious as I can be. I managed to go to Star Wars Celebration and not catch it, you know, because surges were different. But as cautious as I can be, I can't not go though, because we've already committed ourselves. So who knows if they even still have it, if because it's still 2 weeks away, if things are like they are right now. But this should be a signal to everyone, especially the people that are the most vulnerable amongst us, that vaccination still something you should do, boosting is still something you should do, and that COVID is still alive and well. It got to the president.
Let me ask you this. So the headlines you see are President Biden tested positive for COVID after being fully vaccinated and boosted twice. You know, when they put that out there in that way, I think, and I know I've talked, I'm curious if you've had these conversations, I've talked to people who are like, well, double, like you're fully vaccinated and you've been boosted twice and you still get it and you still have symptoms. Do you feel like, because I feel this has been the way when I'm talking to people, that they are disenchanted with being boosted because they're seeing so many people still get it with being double boosted.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, I don't want to be boosted.
Here's the deal. I felt that way. I'm not going to lie. NGL. Mm. But we have a new player at the table. You ever see like a poker table? And there's a new guy that comes.
Yes, I've seen a poker table.
A new player comes and sits down at the poker table. We got a new player at the poker table. And his name is BA5. And BA5 is a wily player. He is a variant of some of the other players we've had at this poker table. And he can evade vaccine protection. He can evade prior protection from COVID immunity. He's a wily one, and he is spurring this surge. So the best way to stop him from going all in and wiping you out of all of your chips is to wear your mask, distance when you can, and be responsible about it. And of course, vaccination is going to help. It's going to help you from like getting super duper sick. I am no longer having the conversation about vaccination with people who don't believe in it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm over that. What I'm saying is this. We're not talking about whether or not you can contract the disease. We're talking about how sick you get.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Run out, shake hands with BA5.
It's not people who aren't. Don't believe in vaccinating. It's the people who do believe in vaccinations.
Okay, I found this on the web for he can evade vaccines protection. Do you get a vampire protection from COVID immunity? He's away. And he is sperm. To search so the best way to stop him from going all. Live in what happened you out of all of your chips. Used to wear your mask distance when you can. And be responsible, bad responsible about it. And of course, vaccination.
That doesn't scare you.
Uh-uh. I've embraced it.
I would break out in hives. That's absolutely terrifying. I don't even like what she just had to say. I don't know to fully understand everything she had to say, but I don't like it. I don't like it. Anyways, I was going to say the conversation, though, what's different is it's not people who don't believe in vaccinations. They do believe in it. They just don't want to be boosted anymore because it just seems that catching it is inevitable. And I think people are less scared at how severe it can be than they were before, which I don't think people should ease up. I think that you should still follow, you know, whatever the science is saying.
I'm gonna test every day.
Protect yourselves.
I'm gonna take it to Vegas. I'm gonna test every day. I'm gonna do the best that I can, you know. But we are all here hoping that President Biden is okay.
I know that
there's some people who obviously are gonna hope for other things. It's just the way they'll
come on, y'all.
The conspiracy theories are already flying about this, by the way.
And that is?
That this is going to, that he doesn't really have COVID.
Oh,
and they're
going
to use a severe COVID illness to not run him. That this is going to be his exit out of the presidency and Kamala Harris is going to take over with Pete Buttigieg as her vice president. It's been blowing up this morning. Been blowing up.
Really?
Yep. People already.
Are you on the dark web? I haven't seen. Well, I guess I hadn't seen the alert either.
The dark web. We've been talking about this. It's not the dark web. Don't accuse me of being a dark webber. I'm not a dark web. I don't want to be.
I would
a dark
be shocked
web.
If you dabbled. If you dabbled, got a little curious.
Do I look like a dark? Am I a dark web?
Took a little peek in.
Donnie. Am I? Yeah. Do I seem like a dark web?
Donnie said, "Yeah."
No, you don't seem like a dark web. But you seem dark web curious. I can see you just seeing what's going on.
Just peeking. Mm-hmm. Just peeking around, seeing what's going on.
How do you get to the dark web?
You tell us, Van. Tell us.
I'm not saying. All right. The Secret Service is being secret. They gave one text message thread to the January 6th.
Was that funny? Are you laughing at your own joke? Was that funny, man?
<That's> funny. The Secret Service, we're looking for as much information, the January 6th committee has, to put together what happened there. Of course, they want to talk to the Secret Service, who's in great proximity to the president. Secret Service said that a lot of the text messages surrounding January 6th have been deleted. Or maybe they weren't around. There were reports that they had been deleted. And so they've been subpoenaed for their text messages, and they gave one text message thread, one thread. And there was a letter sent Tuesday that was a deadline for the agency to hand over a trove of documents. Text message conversation was between U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun and former Secret Service Uniform Division Chief Thomas Sullivan. Requesting assistance. It's kind of what they wanted to know, is what they wanted to see. And they got one thread back. And people are wondering now if this is because the Secret Service has said that what happened here is they've turned over their equipment since then. Hey, we're the Secret Service. We don't hold on to fucking phones for a long time. We don't hold on to fucking technology for a long time. There's been an equipment overturn since then. Overhaul since then. We don't have it anymore. And other people are saying, yeah, motherfucker, you have it and you're being secretively shady about it. And we need to know as much about January 6th as possible. Rachel, which one do you think that it is? Do you think that the
latter? Latter. I just feel like when this went down, as much as an uproar as it caused, as controversial as everything was, you had to have known that your technology would be investigated. That this, it would, maybe not that we would have this hearing or there'd be a committee, but you knew that there would be some sort of investigation as to how this all went down and how it happened. How could you not want to, how would you not be I guess, proactive about preserving this type of information or making sure that this was intact in case there was, well, not in case, because you knew there would be most likely an investigation as to how things went down.
You feel like they should have kept it because they should have been, they should have
assumed there would be an investigation? Wouldn't you want to know? Like, well, I mean, they're the Secret Service. They probably did. It looks like you haven't set up iMessage yet. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening.
She's going for my job. That's what she is. She's trying to be your co-host at this point. Shut her off.
All right. I'll shut her off right now. But go ahead.
Ask her about January 6th. What's she got to say?
Oh, let's see what Siri
What's she got to say?
Hey, Siri, what do you think about January 6th and the Secret Service?
Okay, I found this on the web for What is a Kebab January 6th in the Secret Service. Check it out.
Nah, fuck you. I asked for your opinion. Bye. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll shut it up right
now. No. I'm just saying they had to have been aware that there would be some sort of investigation surrounding this. And so I just don't buy the whole, oh, we update our system. We don't have it anymore. This is just a part of what we do. I don't believe it. I think that they were involved in a way that they don't want to admit. And so it's convenient to be able to say, well, we're the Secret Service. We don't keep this type of information all the time because we're trying, you know, we don't want anybody to tap into it type information. We're trying to protect, you know, the administration or whatever. So I don't know. They're absolutely involved. Come on, man. You know that. You believe that, right?
I do, but here's the thing. I wonder, because we've been here with the Secret Service before. Mm-hmm. The Secret Service had knowledge, or it was talked about whether or not you could ask the Secret Service about Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky. Mm-hmm. The question is, what is the duty of the Secret Service? And I looked it up, kind of what their... what the duty of the Secret Service is and whether or not they should be involved in testifying against the president or providing information or evidence against the president, because... what type of precedent does that set for the Secret Service? I'm not sure. I'm obviously in this case, I would like to know everything possible about January 6th, right? I'd like to know everything possible about January 6th. Everything possible. And I would want to know what the Secret Service knew. What I don't know is if, and by the way, I don't think that this means that the Secret Service should be hiding anything. If you're subpoenaed, you should go before the committee.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I'm wondering if having the Secret Service give secrets or details about the president that they're protecting in any way compromises the efficacy of their protection going forward. Does this change things? You know what I mean? I mean, it's not, I'm not saying that I have the answer. I'm just saying if I'm swimming in my mind, that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know what I mean?
Well, in your research, I'm curious, what is the Secret Service supposed to protect? Because, are they supposed to protect the actions of the president, or are they supposed to protect the president from the public?
Well, I mean, they protect the president, right? And it's not just the president.
But I guess, right, it's not just the president, but just for the sake of this conversation. Because my thing is, you could use that same argument to say, well, what kind of precedent are they setting if they do have certain information and they're protecting the president from, you know, some type of illegal action. I don't feel like that's, and you tell me, you did the research. I don't feel like that's within their duties. I think that they're supposed to, you know, physically protect the president, but if the president is doing something illegal and you know that, and if they are protecting the president from that, then what kind of precedent does that set for the next president and the next one after that? You can get away with certain things.
What if the president is doing something illegal in the interest of national security?
I would need more details on that.
I would need more details as well. I'm just asking the question.
I don't know.
In this particular case.
But this is not national in the interest of national security.
Hell no. In this particular case, I am disappointed that the Secret Service seems to be evading the inquiry of the January 6th committee. But I also realized that I don't know, like, what specifically the Secret Service's mission is. And I had to look it up. I had to look and kind of figure out the Secret Service serving the American people, which would seem like any governmental agency like that were serving the American people, or are they specifically the serving the president? I wouldn't want anybody to be able to ask my bodyguards, which I don't have, like, what's going on with me, you know? Does that change the method? I would like to talk to a Secret Service agent about it and wonder why they're being so cagey, because the reality is, I don't think that you have, maybe you do have Secret Service agents that are loyalists to President Trump, but I wouldn't imagine that it would be that many. I wouldn't imagine that that would be a thing. You know what I mean? I would imagine that if they're being, if they're being in some way, you know, the reality is I, for some reason, have faith in the Secret Service that they protect every president. And they, any guy that would put their life on the line for the president, any sure. woman that would put their life on the line for the president or a senator, I have faith that they're doing that out of some sense of duty. And it seems that in this particular situation, there's got to be a reason why they're asking this way, unless maybe specific Secret Service agents could be implicated in things that went on January 6th. I just want to know why. Well,
they would be.
Yeah.
They would be, right? Because they acted as individuals. So I think you would, if there are certain text messages or they are hiding it, I think you would have to implicate certain individuals. My question is, okay, so the Secret Service turned over one text message. What are the repercussions of that? Like, is there anything that can even be done to the Secret Service? Because, you know, if it is found that they're withholding certain things, or we may never find if they're withholding text messages. So now what? It's like, nope. That's all we have. Do we just move on?
I mean,
is there anything else that can be done?
Well, we're going to talk about somebody right now who they're doing more stuff to. You know, we need to know whether or not they are being purposefully obtuse, and if there's any sort of honor in them being purposely obtuse, or if they're damaging the fabric of the country by being purposely obtuse. But we know one guy who is, and that's fucking Steve Bannon. Oh, Stevie B, big fan of yours. He loves you. Steve Bannon is a huge Rachel Lindsay fan. He is on trial for contempt. Okay. He received a deadline to answer a subpoena from the House committee, and he refused to comply. Bannon is cagey and wily. He says now he will comply. Bannon says now he will comply. He says he can't wait to testify. And guess what they've said to Bannon? Too late, motherfucker. Too late. You're done. They're selecting they did jury selection earlier this week. And most legal experts think that Bannon's goose is cooked, that they are going to lean on this motherfucker and make an example out of him for anyone That's who is it. Refusing to cooperate with the January 6th commission. My question is, if Bannon gets threatened with jail time, what are the chances that he cuts a deal? If you watch what's going on in the January 6th commission, it seems as if Trump's infrastructure is eroding around him. That
definitely.
Plus the fact that I think that the Republicans would love to run somebody else. They would love to run somebody else. What are the chances that in these smoke-filled rooms where interns are being harassed, that the Republicans feed Donald Trump to the DC law apparatus in order to get free from him? And would Steve Bannon cooperate in that?
Well, it sounds like he already wants. Okay, let's calm down. It sounds like he already wants to cooperate. He tried. They told him it was too late. So it's not far-fetched to say that Steve Bannon would cooperate or take some sort of deal, because he at this point sees that they are very serious, as he is on trial, facing jail time and having to pay, what was it? A fine up to $100,000 for each sentence. So they're very serious. Steve Bannon is going to cooperate. So I think that one explains itself. However, I don't know what's about the Republicans. I don't know where they stand. Do they want Trump to run again? Do they want to put somebody else up? I think that there's a large part of their base, though, that would support Trump. So if they do feed Trump to the wolves, if they do turn on him, if they do start, which would be great, like, you know, we don't want to see Trump again in 2024, but will this impact their party? I don't know. There's still a huge Trump following. Will they support a DeSantis or I don't even know who else. Who else is the DeSantis is the main person. I don't know.
Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, people like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that everything that you're saying is logical and makes sense. I would not be shocked if it does seem like at this point that they are ready and willing to give up Trump. And I think that the Republicans would do anything, including giving up Trump, if it meant that they could step back into the presidency in 2024.
Okay, so if Bannon cooperates, he doesn't necessarily have to give Trump up. We should say that. Like, when Steve Bannon is saying that he wants to go to the Capitol Hill and testify. I don't think he's going to go to Capitol Hill and testify and give all this great information on Donald Trump. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to be asked about that video, that audio that we played not too long ago. And I think he's going to go in there and grandstand. I think he fucked himself because he could have done that, right? Mm-hmm. He could have gone there and grandstand and obfuscated and done all of these different things and blah, 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 blah. This is a witch hunt and all of that shit. He could have done that. And still actually maintained his standing with the other cultists that love him. But I think now, because he thought for some reason, maybe there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the law, or he called their bluff that they wouldn't hit his ass with the heat. And now he's fucked. You know what I mean? And now he's in a way, he doesn't want to go to jail. So the fact that he doesn't want to go to jail, now they might be able to get something out of him or trade something from it. Now it's even realer than it was. He miscalculated this to a large degree. As far as it deals with the Republicans, I desperately want Trump to run in 2024.
Do you?
I think that's our best shot at victory, to be honest with you. Mm. And when I say us, I don't mean the Democrats because I'm not one of them. I mean people.
Those
against fascism, right? So I personally think that Trump can't win in 2024. And I know that's a stupid thing to say and a stupid thing to think, but I just don't think, I think the one thing that gets people out is Trump. That plus the Dobbs decision is the Democrats' best way and the unprecedented gun violence that we're seeing in terms of how it relates to gun laws. I think that's the Democrats' best way to get people out. You know what I mean? And they're doing things. We're going to talk about them codifying same-sex marriage a little bit later. This is what I actually have a little bit of fear to the proposed ticket of DeSantis and Tim Scott. That bothers me a little bit.
Wait, is that going to be his running mate?
That's what they're saying. Yeah. That's bothersome to me. A DeSantis-Tim Scott ticket bothers me a little bit. It bothers me because there are a lot of people who... Like you have guys like
it Joe. It should bother you.
There are guys like Joe Rogan beating the drum for DeSantis, which is.
Is he? I didn't know that. Yeah, he is. I do not pay attention to anything Joe Rogan does.
Beating the drum for DeSantis. And then on top of that, you have people who are going to see Tim Scott and are going to say, hey, there's a black guy running with DeSantis.
That's all he's there for.
Yeah.
That's it. He is literally there as a prop.
Right. So that bothers me a little bit. I think that they realize that kind of a scary ticket. I mean, that's not super scary. Yes, it is. That's kind of a scary ticket. And they would rather probably turn the page from Trump and get past January 6th. But their base won't let them do it. And the only way is, you know, for the law, the long arm of the law to get in.
Jeez, Tim Scott. Tim. Sacrificing his own people for a title.
Tim Scott loves it. He loves it. I watched Django last night. I'm like, oh, look, Senator Scott.
As in the Samuel L. Jackson character.
Yeah, Stephen. that's so mean. That's how I feel. All right, okay. Let's take a break. We're going to dive into some entertainment bullshit. All right. Neo, you love Neo?
Neo's okay.
You like Neo?
I like Neo.
You like Miss Independent?
Yeah, I like that whole era of Neo.
That era was a good era. You know what else I like? I like
what?
Neo with New Kids on the Block. You remember that song?
No.
You remember that joint? I'm about to play it. Neo and New Kids on the Block. This was a great song. They came out again. New Kids on the Block is still touring. Them niggas is not kids no more. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think they more so go by NKOTB.
Is that what they are? NKOTB? Mm-hmm. Neo, why can't I find a song? New Kids on the Block. NKO.
Were you a big New Kids on the Block fan back in the day?
No. I got in a fight over them. I got in a fight because I was like, we was at school and people were playing New Kids on the Block. The girls were playing New Kids on the Block. And I was like, y'all some Uncle Toms. I just learned that word and I was using it. I was like, y'all some Uncle Toms because y'all should be playing New Edition. And I told people at school what an Uncle Tom was, and there was this kid named Demel, and he got mad. And me and Demel started swinging on each other. I'm like, you look like a white man's nigga up here dancing to that shit. We got New Kids on the Block. You know? Hold on for a second. I got to find it. It's New Kids on the Block.
I think Donnie found it. Thank you, Donnie.
Baby, I'm gonna be a boyfriend. God,
does that make you an Uncle Tim? Since you're dancing and singing to that, you know we're changing the name. Uncle should Tim. Should that 2024 ticket happen?
You gotta change
the name. It's Uncle Tim. You're Uncle Tim now.
No, because Neo is on the song. By the way, I still support New Kids on the Block. I still support New Edition. I was at Johnny.
I love Gill's, New Kids on the Block.
I was at Johnny Gill's 50th birthday party. That's how big of a
here he goes, show. Donnie. Boom. Hit the sound.
You asked me a question.
Ding, I had said nothing about Johnny Gill.
You asked me if that makes me Uncle Tim. I'm like, I'm saying I was, whatever. Anyway, Neo, who was a part of that, still listens to R. Kelly. He said that he's always been able to separate the art from the artist. Art. Artist. So over here, you got tp2.com, Greatest Sex. In the middle, you have Having Sex with Children. On the other side, you have people listening to R. Kelly. So you got music, fucking kids, are like what people listen to R. Kelly. Can you jump over that? So here it is. Music, great music, tp2.com. Step in the Name of Love, I Believe I Can Fly, 12 Play, Half on a Baby, We Ride, all of these songs, right, that we know and we love from R. Kelly. In the middle of that, putting your penis inside of children, fucking kids. On the other side of that, fans. Is it cool for a fan to jump over the fucking kids to the music is the question. Are you mad at Neo?
Yeah, I'm mad at Neo, and I say this as I'm wearing a Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson t-shirt. So, you know.
A hypocrite.
The art from the music. It's not just that Neo, listen, what people do in their homes, in the privacy of their homes, we'll never know, right? Unless something's leaked. We'll never know. So if you're listening privately to R. Kelly, we would never know. If you still want to enjoy TP2 and all that music that... Yeah, is good music. That's fine. But for you to say this out loud is so selfish and so disrespectful for the people who are directly impacted by what R. Kelly's done. And I'm going to be very honest. I don't listen to R. Kelly anymore. And the reason being is because when I'm listening to songs like The Greatest Sex, I can't separate who he's talking about having the greatest sex with. R. Kelly's songs are sexual. And now knowing what we know about R. Kelly, and there's still probably so many things we don't know. Who were you talking about as you were making those songs? I can't see it any other way. So for Neo to say you separate the art from the music, there might be situations where you can actually do that. But in the case of R. Kelly, I don't understand how you can. And I don't understand how you can, your direct messaging putting this out there so takes away the voices and the real life stories and the abuse from the women who were victimized by R. Kelly. Yeah. And this really makes me look at Neo in a different way. I'm sorry.
You look at Neo different.
It's just so inconsiderate because you aren't affected by it. You can separate the art from the music, but let's just ignore all the other people who were. This is what we were doing before, right?
Yeah.
This is why R. Kelly was able to continue for such a long time doing what he did, because people think along the same along the same lines as Neo. Did we not learn our lesson? Neo apparently did.
Okay. You say you can separate the art and the artist in some cases, but not in this case. Give me an example of a case where you can separate the art and the artist. Talking about Michael Jackson? All right, but look. So
I got rid of a lot of my Michael Jackson, but I can't get rid of his shirt.
Michael and Freddie. Let's be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. If in fact you still listen to Michael Jackson, which we've both talked about on this podcast that we do, you are a complete and total hypocrite. It's just the way that it goes. Okay? So this is what whatever the rebuttal is going to be, I would love to hear it.
Go ahead, keep going.
So I'm not saying that I'm not, because
oh no, we both are.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm not. This is what I'm saying. I don't listen to R. Kelly. I don't. I don't listen to R. Kelly. It's changed for me. Whatever the reason is that it's changed, it's changed. Maybe because I watched it play out in real time. Maybe because I was too close to it when I was at TMZ. Or maybe it's because I don't have to listen to R. Kelly, right? There's nothing that, like, at this point draws me to R. Kelly's music as much as it does still to Michael Jackson. But I have to be honest with you. I'm a lot like you in that I don't really care if people still listen to R. Kelly's music. I understand that some people are like this. It doesn't bother me. But the public declaration of it bothers mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The public declaration of R. Kelly's, of I still listen to R. Kelly, seems as if it is in some way building a rainbow bridge back to mainstream acceptance of R. Kelly.
Absolutely.
And that to me is a little troubling. I'm not going to lie. I'd like to talk to Neo about it. That's a little troubling. But at the same time, there are people that say now that R. Kelly is in jail, you should be able to listen to him. And I heard this opinion from, of course, my homies back in Louisiana. And this was the opinion.
Okay.
See what you think about this. The opinion is that this is why you should be able to listen to R. Kelly now that R. Kelly's in jail. Okay. R. Kelly doesn't have a lot of his publishing. So the only way R. Kelly could really make money was to tour on his music. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he needed to be able to perform the music to tour on the music, right?
Okay.
So essentially, supporting the popularity of music was supporting songs that he could tour on. He can't tour anymore because he's in jail. Also, mm-hmm. supporting R. Kelly when he was outside meant that he had more latitude to hurt women while he was here. Because the more mainstream his music is, the more damage he can do. They say that now that R. Kelly is in jail, he can't really make any money off of his music because he doesn't have a lot of his publishing. He can't tour of his music because obviously he's in jail, and he can't hurt women while he's in there. So listening to his music, in effect, doesn't affect anything. The only thing that you do is kind of affect your enjoyment and the memories that you have around the music. Mm-hmm. So what difference does it make now? He's like, as long as he was free, I wouldn't listen to it because that gave him a bigger platform and more power to get out and hurt women with his music. But now he's done. R. Kelly won't be out of jail till he's 85. And to be honest with you, he probably will have to serve more time if the other sentencing comes in. Because he's got another case he's got to fight. So I listened to that. And while it was obviously some bullshit explanation to continue to listen to music that you love, I wondered in my mind if that actually made a little sense. I'm not going to say your name because I don't want people in the community to know that you're going this hard. But I thought maybe it made sense. He's like, I stopped, but now that he's in jail, he can't hurt nobody anymore. So what difference does it make?
It's not true. Anytime you press play publicly, more so, on an R. Kelly song, you do have the potential to hurt. I mean, imagine being one of his victims and walking into a party or a club or an event or a store or an elevator, and you hear R. Kelly music. It hits you all over. Like, you have to relive that. Hearing his voice, hearing people celebrate him, he does have the power to still hurt people. So, I mean, imagine going to a concert like Essence Festival. Imagine, like, in between the sets, they would play old school R&B music and the crowd would go crazy and everybody was singing and dancing. Imagine if they had played R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, and somebody's in the audience and you see that. So no, that's not true. And then also we have to cut it off too for the next generation. Imagine just like having a daughter grow up. You have a young daughter and you're playing R. Kelly music and then they start singing it. You know what? They're singing this abuser's song. So I understand what they're saying, but I don't agree with it at all. We just have to silence R. Kelly at this point because we have to. We have to think about all the other people.
There has to be impacted. Yeah, I get it. There has to be consequences for hurting people in this way. You know what we don't have to silence? Donnie, run it.
No. You know, you have so many songs at this point, I never know what is coming up. Go ahead.
Man, we lost one. Damn.
Man.
We're gonna talk about Dave Chappelle.
Do you fear it or are you in support?
I'm in support of Mountain Lion. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely in support of Mountain Lion. So unfortunately, Donnie, yeah, I put some sad music over this in post. We lost one of our dogs, man. Mountain Lion P89 dies after being struck by a vehicle on a 101 freeway. A radio collar Mountain Lion was hit and killed by a driver on the 101 freeway in Woodland Hills, authorities said. P89 was only 2 years old. Damn, not my dog. He's found dead early morning along the shoulder of the freeway. This is the fourth mountain lion to be hit by a car this year. Just 3 weeks ago, P54 was hit and killed off Las Virginias.
Take your time.
In Calabasas, and another one was killed on the 405. You know, it's hard to tell exactly, but wildlife crossings do help. We need to put mountain lion crossings on there.
How do you do that on the freeway?
Put a mountain lion sign. To better protect wildlife, construction began on what's been called the world's largest wildlife crossing for mountain lions and other animals. It's a $90 million bridge over the 101 freeway that will stretch 200 feet over the highway, giving big cats, coyotes, and deers other way to get over the thing. Shout out to P89. Let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all how low down and evil Rachel is. Okay. I'm saying just like that. Let me tell y'all how low down and evil Rachel is. I put this into Black Higher Learning group chat, and Rachel put a heart on it. That's not right.
It was within seconds. It was like immediately.
That's not right.
I knew it affected you. You didn't say anything, but I knew you were bothered by that.
That's not right. Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. Can I tell you why my heart goes out to mountain lion and to other animals like this? Let me tell you.
I get you though.
My heart goes out to them because I really feel like this is their shit.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you know what I mean? I like, you know, mountain lion didn't come to Griffith Park. Griffith Park came to Mountain Lion. You know what I mean? It's like Bozeman's here, and every once in a while, I'll remember that Bozeman is like basically a wolf that's been domesticated out. Bozeman will do something, and then I'll look up why he does it. And Bozeman will come, and I'll be like, yo, Bozeman likes to play tug of war, right? I'm like, there's no fucking way that Bozeman likes tug of war this much. You can't do anything with the dog. If Bozeman comes with the ball in his mouth, when you try to get the ball out of his mouth, he wants to play tug of war. All this motherfucker wants to do is play tug of war all day. I'm like, there's no way that he just likes the game that much. And I go and I look up tug of war, and there's like a DNA reason why he loves tug of war. So there's a wolf in there somewhere.
You're right. It's just the way you're saying it.
There's a wolf in Bozeman, like a pre-animal of freedom that used to roam with a pack and get fucking wild, and dude, and mountain lion is still there. He's old Bozeman, but of a cat way. And I love the freedom that mountain lion has, and that they're around, and that we have to beware for them, like all of that stuff, right? And then fucking somebody hits mountain lion with their car. It sucks.
I agree with you in this, like, they have nowhere to go because we keep, you know, developing their land. I totally understand that. And that does make me sad. However, if it comes down to me versus them, it's me. I'm sorry. Like, Van, what are you going to do if you're on a hike, which you have ruined for me? You've ruined hikes. And you see it and you come across and you're facing a mountain lion.
I mean,
Are you just going to let it do its thing?
I hopefully don't have to kill mountain lion. No, I don't want anybody to die. Hopefully, with as much advocating as I've done, that my name is good in the circles.
Not advocating.
I've done a lot of advocating. I'm definitely an advocate for the mountain lion. You know, but
yeah,
but
not everybody gets their own segment on Higher Learning. But if you're a mountain lion,
and by the way, there are other animals that are. I saw on the Shade Room a monkey kidnap somebody, a bear killed a lady. The animals realize we're fucking up. First of all, rest in peace to those people. I'm not making light of that. That's very sad. But what I'm saying is we have to try to live in homeostasis with our animal pals. The bond between me and Bozeman is so ridiculous now.
Bozeman is purebred.
So what?
Like, he's not a wild animal.
I get that, but he's an animal though. And like, I see him and I'm like, I see him. I'm like Avatar. I want to be one of the animals low key. I'm like Avatar now. Like, I'm like, I want to be an animal. Okay.
It went too far. You're losing it. You're losing it. You're losing it. It's okay. It's okay. Come back.
So Dave Chappelle, real quick. Do you separate the art with the artist and Dave Chappelle?
I almost feel like I don't know what I go ahead.
Well, First Avenue didn't. Last minute Wednesday night appearance at First Avenue in Minneapolis has been moved. Word is that the people in this venue up there in Minnesota and First Avenue got together and collectively called in, said that they wouldn't work the Dave Chappelle show. Mm. It's also in reaction to a petition that was put out. They don't like Dave Chappelle's message and the stuff that's in his stand-up. They didn't want to be a part of it. The show had to move to another place called the Varsity Theater up there in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. They apologized. They said, to staff, artists in our community, we hear you and we are sorry. We know that we must hold ourselves to the high standards and we know we let you down. We are not just a black box with people in it. We understand that the First Avenue is not just a room, but meaningful beyond our walls. The First Avenue team and you have worked hard to make our venues the safest places in the country, safest spaces in the country, should I say. We'll continue to do that mission. You're a Dave Chappelle fan. A lot of people are Dave Chappelle fans. What do you think?
I mean, this is always tough for me to talk about because obviously there's a huge community that's been impacted by Dave Chappelle's comedy that still takes offense to it and doesn't want to see him operate in a manner where he's going to take the stage and possibly hurt and offend them again. And I'm respectful of that. But at the same time, I guess I've heard, you know, I'm torn because I've heard Dave Chappelle, you know, explain it or talk about it, or I heard the comedy. And, you know, I can also speak from the space because it doesn't directly impact me. So maybe I am being insensitive. But if those workers, first of all, that venue should have flushed that out before they were going to bring Dave Chappelle. They should have checked in, tapped in to see what the workers, well, if it was going to offend the workers there. I'm just saying.
But do they consult with their workers when they book anybody else?
No, but he's probably not. But is everybody at the present moment controversial, right? He is controversial. He's offends people. So I think it would be natural to maybe check in with, you know, the community, the workers, to see if they're offending in this particular incident. I'm not saying with everyone. So I don't know, Van, this is always hard for me to talk about because I don't want to disrespect people who really are offended by him. I am not, but I'm also not the community that he's referring to. So, you know, I don't really know how to answer the question without hurting someone because I'm going to sound selfish in talking about it because it doesn't hit me the same way.
So this is what I'll say. Dave Chappelle doesn't bother me. Okay.
And me neither, but
the question is why?
Because of what I just said, but go ahead.
Yeah. So the question is, like, Dave Chappelle doesn't really bother me. I recognize that I watched Bill Burr stand up last night. Bill Burr, hilarious. I think Bill Burr's stand up last night is funnier than any of the stand up that Dave has given us over the past X amount of times he's been out. Because I think Dave has changed in a way. He's reached a sort of standard of comedy where we're more listening to him opine on things than we are really listening to him even do jokes or even give us funny observations for the most part. Mm-hmm. Still, obviously, he's Dave Chappelle. But I saw Bill Burr last night. Bill Burr was hilarious in the way he went at everyone. And it wasn't always easy on your sensibilities to see Bill Burr up there getting that feminism, getting that Black Lives Matter, get both sides in the abortion debate to a degree. But it's funny and insightful the way that he does it. You know, it's funny. And then he gives you enough about why he's fucked up for you to say, okay, well, this is a broken guy making broken jokes, right? With Dave, sometimes it seems a little bit mean-spirited, and Dave seems like he is on a mission, which I think is the difference for me. But, you know, the question is, and this is why I don't laud allyship as most people do. I don't think that allyship is because I don't think that allies are reliable. And I don't think that I'm a reliable,
oh, that's true.
Reliable ally. Like, I don't think I'm a reliable ally. I think I want everybody to feel included and safe and free. But at the same time, I also want to hold on to things I've always held on to, which is the great challenge of being an ally. The great challenge of being an ally is to get new toys, to put away some of the childish things that you had before, to move past people who are standing in the road of progress, you know what I mean? Standing in front of progress, and it's hard, and not everybody wants to do it. And I haven't been able to do it yet with Dave Chappelle. I love Dave Chappelle. I wish he would get off this. He's dragging it, and I don't know why. But I love him even still to this day. I'm happy this happened, though. I'm happy this happened, though, because we have to live in a society where everybody has their say. He said that Twitter wasn't a real place. This was very real. What happened at the Duke Ellington School, where he wanted to have his name on the building, was very real. And so I'm not against Dave being able to do his thing and tell his jokes and be up there. I'm not against that at all. I still love Dave Chappelle and love his comedy, but I also have to be, I want people to kick him in his nuts about it. I want there to be a line in the sand where people, you know, don't fucking can't deal with it. So I thought this was positive all around. He'll go somewhere else to perform. They made their stand. But, you know, hopefully I hope to be better. Hope to be better in terms of how I understand other people's experiences. Because right now I'm still fucking with Dave Chappelle. I got to be honest with you. I fuck with Dave Chappelle very heavy. Okay. Last one. The Republicans. Warnock. Walker. Walker doesn't want to debate Warnock. Doesn't want to debate him. Okay. This is the audio from the campaign.
I just want to ask you about debates. You recently said anytime, any place, the Atlanta Press Club has set their debate for October 16th. Have you committed to that?
I haven't committed to it because I don't let Atlanta set their debate. They're going to have to negotiate with my people. You know, it's not just them setting, they got to talk with us as well. I think one thing that people got to remember is I just don't do as they say. I'm running a campaign just like I want to run it. And I told him I'm ready to debate him whenever he's ready to debate. He tell me the time when it shows up, not the Atlanta Debate Club or whatever they are.
Can I follow up on the debate question?
Yes, sir.
So you said that you would let Warnock set the time.
Yeah, whenever you want to debate, I'm saying I'm ready to debate. He's going to talk to my people and we'll be ready to debate. Have anybody asked him when he wanted to debate? Have you found out? He has agreed to debate. He'd be the three debates. And I said, well, we need to get sit down and they talk, get negotiate with my people. We'll be ready to go. I don't know if they agreed on a date.
Do you have any intention of dodging debates?
Oh, no, I don't dodge anything. I've never dodged anything. I didn't even dodge it in the primary. I didn't deserve to do a debate in the primary because my primary opponent didn't do the work they were supposed to do. That's what I was told. I did. Right now, I said, Warnock is ready to debate.
All right, cut this motherfucker off. So this is what they campaigned. They said he's ready and willing to debate, but they don't care about the old way of doing things. They want to change the debate format and have whatever, whatever. They don't want to debate the guy. They don't want a situation where Warnock has to stand up there and talk to Herschel Walker. Obviously, they don't. You know, the Republicans have a way of hiding cowardice with strategy and hiding racism with policy. And that is what's happening right here. Herschel Walker is a coward. He doesn't want to have to stand on stage and debate a man who is going to actually give the visual image of a polished and prepared public servant. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to stand in front of that, so he doesn't want to do it. And the campaign is going to try to dodge it, dip it, use some of that lateral shiftiness that Herschel Walker really never had as a running back in the pros and get around it. But he is afraid to debate Raphael Warnock. And if they do have a debate, it's not going to look anything like what we said, like what we've seen before, because they don't want to get embarrassed.
Do you want to see a debate?
Of course.
I am so for this debate. For pure entertainment purposes, I pray this debate happens and it takes place. Now, it'll be frustrating for Warnock, I'm sure, because the Republicans will do their typical tactics where they won't answer the question and they'll throw in something else, you know, that's a talking point that doesn't even relate to whatever the issue is that they're talking about. But I want to see it. I want to see it. Yeah, and I think it's very obvious. I don't even have anything more to add. I think it's very obvious what they're doing here. It'll be interesting to see if it does ever play out. But man, if it does, I'll be watching.
All right, Donnie, real quick, mailbag, let's go. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
All right. First one is from Joshy Poo 55. He got your name wrong, Van. He says, Van Latham, if you can...
Next question. Not answering to it. You put the M on the end of my shit, I'm not fucking with it. Love you, Joshy Poo.
All right, cool. Lauren
Donnie,
Jake...
you're so shady for pointing that out. Van would have never known. You are so shady.
All right. Lauren JH91 asks, would you rather have a tiny functioning butt on your forehead or two tiny functioning legs dangling from your chin?
I can't even, I can't.
Y'all need to get off the fucking dope.
I can't even.
Stop doing
Donnie.
Fucking shrooms.
No, no, Lauren. Blame Donnie. I like shrooms. Blame
That's
Donnie.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Blame Donnie because he picked it.
Get off the dope.
He picked it.
Lauren want me shitting all in my head, man.
We are 0-2. We are 0-2.
0-2.
All right. An angry white dad on Reddit asks, if you were given the choice of cash reparations or the ability of white privilege, at what amount of money would you start taking the cash over the privilege?
$1 trillion?
Mm-hmm.
White privilege for it, to me, white privilege is worth $1 trillion. And you know why? Because if I add up, when I'm talking about for a person, if I add up all of the things that white people have accomplished that black people aren't even allowed to accomplish, that cultural guardrails stop us from accomplishing. I'm not talking about we can accomplish anything, but we have to set up new. It would be white privilege to me on an individual level is worth $1 trillion.
So which one would you take over the other? The $1 trillion or would you just take the white privilege?
If you gave me the $1 trillion, we good.
So if they gave you $1 billion, you take white privilege.
Absolutely.
What if that privilege would cause you to oppress certain people? Which is what happened with us.
The privilege is going to cause you to latently oppress other people, right? My thing is, you can't exist in a country and have a functioning and thriving community the way capitalism is set up. Now, if we change the structure of America, that's one thing. We need privilege. We need black privilege. We need privilege, even if that privilege is only exercising amongst each other in our own communities. Like, we need privilege. Like, the idea that, and this is controversial to a lot of people, the idea that we should walk around and feel unentitled, to me, is not what we're looking for. We are entitled. We're entitled to a whole heap of shit here. And I stand by that. But to me, what white privilege is worth is $1 trillion. That's how much, because when I think about Star Wars, even like weird shit that white people have created just because they're not burdened, their privilege allows them to access certain things in America, right? Like, when I look at this last thing, we'll move on because I know we got to go. When I look at this place, this show called The Food That Built America, right? Or The Men Who Built America. I've talked about this before. When you watch these shows and it talks about how all of these guys, how they made Kellogg, how they made fucking KFC, how they made all of these things, all of these guys used privilege. Privilege was the main currency because most of the time it was espionage that allowed them to get the ideas. They stole ideas that they had, right? But then they went and got loans. They went and got friends to help. They went and got all of those things. And like, you couldn't have gotten those things without privilege at that time. So the amount of wealth created at that time when they were stealing black wealth in the form of the land that we had was all dedicated to privilege. So if I put a dollar amount on it, it would be $1 trillion per person.
Well said. Anyway. Well, I had nothing to add to that.
I spent that out of the week.
You have one?
Yes.
You go first.
Damn, why did I forget? Hold on real quick.
There was a guy on TikTok that we got tagged into who stood up at a, I don't have his name. He stood out at a school board meeting. It looks like it's in Cincinnati, and spoke out about the right-wing school board's resolution to ban anti-racism. The account on TikTok is School Board Bird Dog, and it's a white parent. It's a white parent who's speaking out in favor of anti-racism. So you guys check it out. I wish I had his name. I give him a better shout out, but
Completely forgot who I had for Unexpected Ally of the Week.
I had never had one.
I did. I swear to God, I did. Well, it's over now. All right. I'll give it to you next week. I love you. When I remember. Okay, look, guys. Take think caps off, but do not stop learning. We're working on a big guest for Monday. A guest that threatens to change the fabric of the
Get off the mic.
A guest so legendary that means so much to this culture. That if they are able to grace us with their presence on Monday, things will never be the same on this podcast. Someone that means a lot. Some would say somebody that means everything. I'm not going to tell you who, but I bet you can guess. I bet you can guess. Someone that means so much had their hands and other parts in some of the biggest moments in culture over the past 20 years.
You're a troll.
Take your caps off, but do not stop learning. I'm
Rachel and Lindsay. Bye, guys.